truth.
For this evening's program, and I was in a mood for some different music. It's music I used to play with my financial programs. Pink Floyd. Money. You know, the cash registers, the whole thing. Good evening and welcome to another installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Boy, we've been jazzed today, haven't we? I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. You're listening to us live on this second day of the Guns of August, 2011, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Glad to have you here. Renewed worries over the state of the economy pushed U.S. stocks to their longest losing streak in just under 3 years. Sent the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index to its lowest close in 2011. The Dow Jones Industrial Average sunk 265.87 points, 2.19%. They closed at 11,867 today, eighth straight loss. S&P 500 shed 32.89, nearly 33 points, to close at 1254. Moving into negative territory for the year, NASDAQ gave up 75, almost 76 points to end at roughly 2,669 points. Global Dow is off 44 at 2,030. Gold up big time, currently sitting at roughly $1,660 an ounce. That is nearly double what its high was in January of, 1980? Oil shed 60 cents off a barrel today, but still currently sitting at $93.19 a barrel. According to some other headlines, silver ETFs are to stay white hot. I got an email from one of my personal clients earlier in the week who wants to make a major purchase in silver this week, but he believes it's going to take a huge hit. Well, it might, but then again, it might not. Moody's has affirmed that U.S. is a somewhat triple A. That's one big A and two little A's. They say that its outlook is negative as risks of a downgrade still exist if conditions get worse. And my friends, they are going to get worse. They're not going to get better. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about America in its further decline, its further collapse, and then we're going to return to what we began talking about last night, poverty. What poverty in America is like today and how we got here. So you stay with us, and we'll be right back. You hear?
We've been working all day.
Heart
Sleep-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
To know each cloud contains a penance from heaven. You'll find your fortune falling all over town.
Oh, the lovely Renee Olmsted. This weekend, if time allows, I'm going to work on a new jazz catalog to replace that which we've been listening to for these past 10 months or so. And I've had some interesting requests for some Lionel Hampton and some other phenomenal stuff. I picked up a few other pieces that I'm hanging on to. And, well, we'll try to make it interesting for you. If you've not been able to figure it out, America is in the throes of collapse. And the corporate-controlled mass media is attempting to shift the blame on labor unions, senior citizens, and the disabled whose demands upon business and government entitlements they claim are breaking the system. Of course, little or no responsibility for this debacle is being taken by the real culprits, the Wall Street robber barons whose scams and schemes have backfired, plunging this nation into the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, and in some respects, possibly even worse. And of course, nor have the Washington politicians assumed any responsibility whose votes in support of free trade treaties have devastated America's workforce. acting against the will of the American people. Washington has repeatedly voted for trillions of dollars of taxpayer bailouts of banks and corporations, all while turning a blind eye to the millions of Americans losing their homes and jobs. There's even a column out there right now that some of the lower economic homes that have gone into foreclosure are now being bulldozed by the banks. Needless to say, my friends, the cost of these bailouts, failed stimulus plans, and the wasteful and unnecessary wars financed by borrowed money has bankrupted the United States of America. Now, contrary to government statistics, the nation's economy ain't in recovery, but it is in a continued free fall. The lack of any positive action by the federal government to stop and reverse the failed economic policies initiated by the corrupt captains of capital has revealed beyond all doubt where the loyalties of America's elected representatives really are. Oy vey. The influence of banks and multinational corporations within this nation, or specifically within the United States government, is such that any legislation presently being considered ignores the distress and hardship visited upon the average American, while encouraging further tax breaks for the billionaires. Oh, yes, let's not forget Obama wants to tax those corporate and private jets. No, we're told that cutting corporate tax is necessary to establish a business-friendly environment in which to create new jobs, but this argument has proven to be false as big business, regardless of tax incentives, continues to outsource jobs overseas at alarming rates. And the few new jobs which are created pay minimum wage with few benefits, if any at all. I mean, good Lord, most of the people that work at McDonald's can't even afford to buy a meal at McDonald's. And so while the Washington politicians attempt to balance the books on the backs of the most vulnerable of society, the capitalists continue to loot and plunder what remains of a once healthy and dynamic and vibrant economy without regard for the consequences. Signs of collapse are everywhere, my friends. The rusting and decaying infrastructure, the foreclosed homes and empty storefronts, the skeletal remains of steel mills and factories, the transformation of former centers of industry and manufacturing into ghost towns, and soaring unemployment with one out of every five Americans now jobless, and that only counts the ones that we know of. Spending cuts and attempts by Congress to balance the budget will have no effect whatsoever in reviving this economy. The patient is dying. The point of no return has been crossed. Oh, look, capitalism is wreaking economic havoc everywhere it's been introduced. Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, they're all teetering on default, with America and the UK next on the list. With its dismal record of failure, the apologists of capitalist greed find themselves hard-pressed to defend this system of exploitation and theft, which shamelessly attempts to shift the blame for this debacle upon working people and the elderly, while tax-exempt corporate profits soar into the billions of dollars. As the economy shrinks and the dollar devalues, so does the faith and support of a public fed up with an economic system and a government insensitive to the needs of its citizens and the general welfare of the state. Elections are no longer effective, as the promise of hope and change, which in the last presidential election energized the electorate and won the White House for one Barry Satoro, but as it turned out, was nothing more than a slick and deceptive advertising campaign initiated by the political wing of Wall Street to placate the rising anger and discontent of the masses. Masses as in M-A-S-S-E-S, not M-A-S-S-A-H-S. Say, Massa, what can I do for you today? Well, since his election in '08, Obama continues to betray his constituency, shamelessly capitulating to the interest of big business again and again and again. Well, it's naive to think that the wealthy ruling class whose banking and corporate interests they control will give up or share any wealth or power with the working man, but it is a sure bet that they'll continue their war on labor through their political puppets in D.C. and the state governments, as we're seeing in Wisconsin, Ohio, elsewhere, claiming to be the defenders of dumbocracy and freedom. This new financial aristocracy has done more to destroy it than they have to revive it. And then, of course, you've got the corporately funded Tea Party movement. That's one of a number of political organizations created by corporate cash to further its agenda. Oh, you thought the Tea Party was a whole bunch of nice people that cared. Well, you know, they're no different than the Republican and Democrats that are out there on the street. The diehard grassroots members of the various parties, they have a distinct belief. Many of them do, anyway. But the Tea Party, oh, I remember the day the Tea Party was born. It was born of an idea of a reporter on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange during a particularly devastating day. It might even been the day when that Dow went through that miraculous 1,000-point drop that turned out later to be a computer-generated error or something like that. I think it was a test to see just how people would respond. They were hoping maybe a bunch of them would jump out the window and commit suicide and they'd never have to pay their money back. The reality is, this reporter said, I think the people in America should be angry enough that they should start a new Tea Party, or they should have another Tea Party. He, of course, was in reference to the Boston Tea Party, you know, the days of Johnny Tremaine and those guys, you know, Walt Disney character, etc. But the reality was is that he felt that the American public needed to rise up in arms. So somebody says, hey, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hand. Let's start a Tea Party movement. It was instantly infiltrated by the likes of Dick Armey and his army. Big bucks took over from within. And what did the Tea Party really do during this debt and deficit debacle that we just went through? They didn't get as far as they like to claim they did. Oh, they raised an awareness, but so what? What did that awareness do? Did anybody win? It still gave that half-breed, and that's what he is, it still gave him a blank check, which is exactly what needs to be stopped. But oh, no, 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 my friends. Just like their Nazi forebears, these modern-day brown shirts support corporate interests while espousing their hatred of organized labor and what remains of the New Deal, the Great Society, the Raw Deal, and all the other social programs of Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson. You ever notice the Democrats always have three initials, FDR, LBJ, JFK? I can't think of a single Republican that was ever referred to by three initials. And yet under the guise of patriotism, these homegrown quislings and useful idiots from the nucleus of a fifth column of traitors infiltrating into the political and social fabric of this nation, and whose manipulations would impose a fascist police state upon America and the world. However, the pro-corporate legislation and propaganda of these fascist smokescreen organizations like the Tea Party and their mainstream political party cohorts will ultimately fail as the economy crumbles under the weight of mass unemployment and increasing poverty and a devalued currency. How it's all going to play out once the line is crossed is speculative, but hopefully a new society and a new economy based upon, well, maybe socialist principles of fairness and shared wealth will arise out of the ashes, and a stake is finally driven through the heart of the capitalist vampire. That's a tough one. How many of you sat up and raised your eyebrows? I'm sitting there talking to you about converting a society and economy into a socialist principle. Fairness and shared wealth? Well, that's exactly what we're living under right now. Except there's no fairness, and yet we're all expected to share our wealth with those who are doing nothing to create any for themselves. We certainly are I don't think we're coming out of the ashes, not anytime too soon. But there are some negative factors to the capitalist vampire as well. Specifically, considering the capitalist vampire, their head impaler, as it were, is the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is owned and controlled by whom? Yeah, well, one of them just realized what his family had done to the world and committed suicide recently. That's an heir to the Rothschild fortune. Yesterday, we began to share with you commentary about being poor in America. More and more people are reaching that very point. We closed the program yesterday by sharing with you that poverty is determined culturally and thus a relative concept. The European Union determines the poverty line to be half the average national income. If the European Union or EU becomes richer, the poverty line rises and thus people become richer. And yet, if you recall all the numbers that we shared with you yesterday, talking to you about what the poverty levels were during LBJ's years in office, the so-called war on poverty that was declared in 1964, and that 47 years later, after we have spent billions and trillions of dollars on the poor, the so-called downtrodden Americans, we have in fact lost this war on poverty. In 1964, families who made less than $3,000 a year were considered poor. Can you imagine that? Making but $3,000 a year or less? You remember we talked about how Johnson's goal was to get every American above the poverty line by the year of our bicentennial, 1976. But that through all these years, the poverty line was continued to be adjusted every single year to reflect changes in the cost of living to the point that we've now reached the year 2011 and the federal poverty line for a family of four this year is not $3,000, it's $22,350. Now, states adjust those numbers for one reason or another. According to the federal government, 35% of the poor people in this country are children. This is appalling. But then we go back to the commentary we just shared with you, talking about socialism. When we take from the rich and give to the poor, we realize that these are the tenets of Marxism. Taking from the rich is one thing. What about taking from the middle class? Those that I suppose at one time many of us were or still are, if we're lucky. It's simply amazing. Simply amazing. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. I actually bought a hard copy of that book the other day. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. But the reality is we are living under the tenets of Marxism already, whether we like it or not. Our problem is we're straddling that line in the sand. We're still attempting to live under this the guise and control of this capitalist vampire, but the other side of the line, we're living under these tenets of Marxism. Remember, our market system does not guarantee income equality. Progressives write and talk ad nauseum about the distribution of income in the United States having grown substantially more unequal since the 1980s. Liberals demand that incomes be equal. If their demands were rational, they would understand that it is impossible, even under their beloved communism, to have income equality. And there are many reasons why incomes are and will always remain unequal. You see, people have different capabilities. Some can do math more quickly, speak better, run faster, ski better, type more accurately, paint better, have better entrepreneurial skills, better IQs, are more inventive, more creative, more musical than others. People can work longer hours than others, labor more intensely. Such disparities of income are largely voluntary, of course. Of course, people take risks with stock market and new businesses. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs come to mind. Doesn't matter what we think of them as individuals. People work in dangerous jobs that are reflected in compensating wage differentials. People who work the night shift receive higher wages. People who are schooled or better trained receive higher pay, theoretically. They have sacrificed current income levels to study in order that they might receive a higher income in the future, but that's not necessarily the case any longer. How many stories do we read of kids coming out of college finding that, well, there ain't no jobs. I'm going to have to go work at Denny's, baby. More work experience, at least at one time, commanded higher wages. People who have inherited wealth do not necessarily derive their income from work. Think of the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, etc. They derive their income from robbing us. People who inherit human capital, wealth, command higher wages. Persons whose families have attended Ivy League colleges will likely benefit from this tradition and attend the same college. Thus, the process will result in higher wages for them. And, of course, finally, luck is an insidious cause of wage differentials. Good or bad fortune can help one dig to find gold or oil and others to find water or just rocks. You see, people in general understand why incomes are unequal and find these variables rational. Liberals tend to find these differentials intolerable and socially unjust, claiming discrimination with every perceived wrong. Economic discrimination does exist and may or may not be deliberate. Interesting. Economic discrimination is said to exist when equivalent factors of production receive different payments for equal contributions to output. You know, kind of like the women don't get paid the same amount of money to do a job that a man does, that type of nonsense. In real life, my friends, it is difficult to decide when two factors of production are equivalent. It is not called discriminatory if a woman with a high school diploma receives less compensation than a man with a college degree. Now, if a man and a woman have the same education, but the man may have 10 years more experience than the woman does, and they receive different wages for this reason, is that discriminatory? If men and women were equally productive but received different wages, then that would be discriminatory. Quite impossible to measure productivity in many white-collar jobs. White-collar, blue-collar, no-collar. Never heard anybody call it that, the no-collar jobs. That's when a guy wears a wife-beater T-shirt, works down the sewers. Has no collar at all. That's what they're called. Don't look at me that way. And so, my friends, in order to combat poverty, besides the obvious better education, the government implemented programs collectively called welfare, such as ADC, Aid to Families with Dependent Children. In Chicago, we just called it ADC, called Oz Daly's Cousin. Of course, that was later replaced by Clinton's Temporary Assistance to Needy Families. Food stamps. Currently 44 million people in this country on food stamps, the highest on record. We got WIC, we got Medicaid. Problem with all these programs is that it encourages people, each one of them, encourage people to remain on the dole. As their incomes rise, their tax sum and the incentive to work becomes relatively weak. Furthermore, the more out-of-wedlock children they have in the absence of a father, the more benefits they receive. Hence, anchor babies coming up over the border. Stay with us. We come back, we're going to talk about other aspects of these government handouts. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back to Tuesday, Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Talking about poverty. I think government is, in many respects, the main cause of poverty in this nation. I think you'll find that governments are like that around the world. What makes us so damn special? Nothing. We then came along in, 1975 and came up with this thing called the Earned Income Tax Credit. Oh, that was also established to combat poverty. All the other things weren't working. ADC, AFDC, the food stamps, the WIC, the Medicaid, none of that stuff was working. So let's come up with a new program, Earned Income Tax Credit. As earnings rise from zero to some threshold, the federal government supplements the earnings of the poor by giving them a grant proportional to their earnings. Now, the Earned Income Tax Credit, as we mentioned, goes back to 1975. It's now America's biggest income support program, reaching over 22 million families. If the average family is four, then you've got 88 million people living off Earned Income Tax Credit, in effect, along with WIC and Medicaid and food stamps and Oh, hey, my other favorite one. It's affirmative action stuff. Oh, yeah, it is another good one. Of course, the federal government, in its quest to control every aspect of our lives, made it illegal to discriminate. And yet, isn't that in effect exactly what they're doing? 1964, another LBJ Day, Civil Rights Act, outlawed many forms of discrimination and established the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Except there was nothing equal about it. If you were white, you could get to the back of the bus because we gone with the job to somebody else. Oh, yeah, affirmative action was controversial from the very beginning and remains so to this very day. Some, what, nearly 50 years later or whatever? Many claim that it is insufficient social justice. Other claims it's numerical quotas and compulsory hiring of unqualified workers simply because they are female or a minority or of a specific race. Proponents argue that affirmative action is needed to redress past wrongs and to prevent discriminatory employers from claiming they're unable to find qualified minority or female employees. Crap. Past wrongs. I didn't cause them. Government caused them, damn it. But tell that to the government, and they'll say, well, it's okay. You got to pay your fair share, boy. Of course, then you got Robert Rector of the Heritage Foundation. He says that census officials continue to grossly exaggerate the numbers of the poor, creating a false picture in the public mind of widespread material deprivation. He goes on to say that most news stories on poverty feature homeless families, people living in crumbling shacks or lines of the downtrodden eating in soup kitchens. The actual living conditions of America's poor are far different from those images. As we shared with you yesterday, most of them have air conditioning and big screen TVs and some form of a big GMC Escalade or some darn thing like that. Why is the federal government deliberately keeping a large portion of the U.S. population dependent on welfare? Well, is it the whole government or is it the Democrats? Because that way the Democrats can get more votes. Let me share with you. In spite of our, now we just did this little debt deal and Obama signs off on it. And what does he get? $2.1 or $2.14 trillion that he's going to get to spend? Well, listen to this. In spite of our escalating debt ceiling problems, we spend $1 trillion a year on welfare, although many recipients are not the typical poor in need of government assistance. Many people on welfare and Medicaid drive up to the pharmacy window to pick up their prescriptions in brand new expensive SUVs. In the recession of 2009, only about 4% of the poor became temporarily homeless. Rector and co-author Rachel Sheffield wrote that the media amplified the Census Bureau's annual misrepresentation of poverty over the past 40 years. News reports routinely suggest that poor Americans typically are homeless and hungry, and U.S. foes and rivals such as Iran, China, and Russia are delighted to report the same thing. Regrettably, most discussions of poverty in this country rely on sensationalism, exaggeration, misinformation, but an effective anti-poverty policy must be based on an accurate assessment of actual living conditions and the causes of deprivation. Oh, let's not forget, Obama's wife wanted to make sure that all these poor people got free cell phones. And so are we then truly poor in the United States? Why is the federal government deliberately keeping a large portion of the U.S. population dependent on welfare and other social programs while bankrupting the country with its out-of-control spending? Simple questions. Simple mathematical equations. Dr. Ileana Johnson-Paugh, Canada Free Press, with obviously some commentary thrown in by yours truly. But yes, the government seems to intentionally keep people living at or below the poverty line they continue to want to provide all the freebies and the handouts and the giveaways. And that doesn't count the handouts and the giveaways that go to illegal invaders that are breaking across our border tonight and popping out a little Julio and Julieta tomorrow. You want to make it racist? I don't really give a damn what you make out of it. The majority of the invaders coming into this country, the so-called illegal aliens, are coming up from south of the border. Oh, yeah, there's a few Indians mixed in there and a few other Middle Easterners, but most of them are of Hispanic heritage. You can cry racist all you want, but facts are facts. The government's 12 million figure is a hoax. It's far closer to 40 million illegal usurpers in this country and their children and their aunts and their uncles and their cousins and their grandmas. And it just goes on and on and on. Every one of those little rugrats that their mama's come across here and gives out a little baby and pops it out at our expense, by the way, that kid instantly goes on the government dole, gets all the possible handouts in the world, free medical care until they're, what, 18 or 21, free education, the whole nine yards. And every one of them gets to have up to 21 relatives come up north of the border to live there and help support them. I posted this column yesterday at federalobserver.com. It became interesting to me, the relative lack of response by the readership. And yet one response in general from the lady was quite interesting. I'll share it with you. She said, this is a thought-inspiring article, and I enjoyed it. I'm not an expert at anything, but on the subject of poor, I come close. I am descended from a long line of mostly poor people. Government handouts cripple the poor and make them beggars. Government rules and regulations made by men and women in fancy clothes are mostly attempts to preserve property values and keep the poor out of sight so that their eyes and conscience and noses aren't bothered by the unseemly sights and smells of the poor. Most of the houses I lived in as a kid with their outhouses and flattened Prince Albert cans nailed over rat holes would be condemned and torn down. There's a certain pride of accomplishment in overcoming adverse circumstances on one's own. That pride of accomplishment, she says, in most instances will generate even greater effort to overcome. Government, in all its grand efforts to level the playing field, has ended their efforts by digging a ditch for the poor to stumble into. What a powerful statement. How simple these two paragraphs from a reader of the Federal Observer, someone who came from poverty, who worked to overcome it. What a marvelous story. Coming up on tomorrow's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz, it is Wednesdays with Roger. Don't know where we're going yet this week, but more and more emails, more commentaries, stuff coming in from Joe Schmo, more comments coming in from our friend Dave up in Boise. Boise, Idaho. Yes, sirree, Bob. And it's I just can't fathom some of the stories that are coming into us, some of the court situations that have been witnessed, how people are being raked over the coals. We're going to talk about these things tomorrow. So don't miss Wednesdays with Roger on Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. I know Roger's out there listening right now. As I commented an hour ago on John Stettmiller's National Intel report, it has been interesting to watch what's happening to gold. When I joined Republic Broadcasting Network the first time back in August the 28th of 2006, that's barely 5 years ago, people, we saw gold at that point in time probably in roughly the $400 range. I'd have to do a little bit of digging up here and go back. And I could do it, but I'm not of a mind to do so right now. And I remember gold hitting the $500 figure in, I think, December of 2006. It has now exceeded triple that. Gold currently, as of this moment, sitting at $1,660.20 an ounce. I could talk to you about how in the early part of last decade, Robbie and I were offering French 20-franc roosters and Italian lira and Swiss 20-franc pieces, et cetera, for around, I'll give you a range of $75 to $85 a piece. And a lot of it was they were far less recognized at that time. The premiums were lower, but in some cases, because they were trying to get them introduced, premiums are now higher because of demand. The offering that we've put up on the Republic Trading Group International.com website is not in the treasure hunt. It's smack dab on the front page. Package number 750, the Bob Chapman special for this day, August the 2nd, 2011. I will suggest to you that if you are interested in adding more gold to your holdings, the time to do it is now. Don't wait for the $50, $60 pullback because it may come, it may not come. Nine chances out of ten, the very coins that you paid $295 a piece for on March the 29th of this year, those coins are now selling for $349. That's quite a jump. That is quite a jump. That's over a $50 increase in the cost of those very coins. You go to our site, you'll notice that I make reference to spot at $1,657. It's now $1,660. We're giving you a multitude of price breakdowns. If you're in a position to just buy one or two coins, you're looking at $349. I mean, you're still going to have some shipping on top of that. If you purchase more, you want to get into five coins or more, your price will drop by about $3 a coin. 20 coins or more, they're going to drop even further. 40 coins, if you are in a position where you say, this makes sense, get me 100 coins, call us tonight, 1-800-691-7898. I will lock you in a price tonight, but I'm going to say this to you. It is 7:47 p.m. Eastern Time right this second. And I'm going to suggest to you that if you are wanting to add more gold to your holdings, first of all, please support RBN. Get your gold through Republic Trading Group. I'm busting my butt to make these things affordable, but there's only so low we can go before it's no longer beneficial to even sell it. Okay? We have to make a few bucks on each one of these coins. For those of you who want to take advantage of the 20 coin or more package tonight, certainly we're going to provide you with a one-year subscription to Bob Chapman's renowned international forecaster newsletter. You can get it twice a month through the mail. My suggestion is get it by email and get it twice a week. Stay up to date. If you're tuning in to listen to Chapman every week on this station that everybody else is, get the newsletter. If you got a subscription renewal coming up here, we'll get it taken care of. A gift subscription to your wealthy aunt who just doesn't know what to do. She's coming unglued. Let her read the reality of economics in this world today. I don't know if I'm going to be able to extend the Chapman special offering after tonight because I don't know what the markets are going to do come morning. I figure by the time I get off the air, I've got maybe 3 hours to go ahead and process any orders that come in. I don't care if it's one coin or 10 coins or three coins. You make your decision what you can afford to get if you're looking to add more gold to your holdings. It keeps going up. I'd like nothing more than 4 months from today, your $349 coins now selling for $410. And believe me, it's real possible the way this market's moving. But my supplier and I have agreed we've got to cut it off at some point tonight. I figure about 3 hours after I get off the air, maybe four, I'm going to have to cut off honoring the prices we've got posted. And even then, when you call, I may still have some minor adjustments. Nothing major at this level. But what happens if we have another $40 increase in gold tomorrow? The world is not a real happy camper with America right now with this insanity. I'm not a happy camper. 535 jerks sitting in Washington, D.C. just sold us further up the river. I sometimes wake up in the morning and I have to pinch myself. I've got to check to make sure my name's not William Casey, that I'm not up the creek in a canoe with no paddle and no life, you know, life preserver. William Casey. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter. Give us a call tonight, 1-800-691-7898. A lot of times you can reach us by email much, much faster. Gold at RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com. And if you go to the website, you'll notice I've moved a few things around so it's easier for some of you people to find them. We've put the treasure hunt picture, the treasure chest, up right up near the top so you can't miss it. By the way, if you click on this week's treasure hunt, you're going to go to the package offering silver for less than spot. Bags and half bags and three-quarter bags or any variation in between of 90% junk silver. I'll still get it for you at less than spot. The Bob Chapman special is smack dab on the front page. The contact information is directly below the picture of the treasure chest. Just click on the little gold letters that say gold at RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com. Send me an email. Let me know that you want to pick up some more gold or you want to discuss the silver. I'll call you. Make sure I get a phone number where to reach you. I'll be happy to do that. Now, about a half an hour ago, Sandra sent me a very interesting letter. We will not have the time to share that letter on the air with you tonight. But it is so powerful. From a listener and a supporter of RBN, that I'm going to post this letter at the RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com website tonight. And I want you to read it. It's real simple. Yeah, RBN's in the midst of a pretty horrific fundraiser to keep its doors open, to keep moving. I'm just going to share one little section of the man's letter. He says, I'm a self-educated older fellow who's been listening to RBN for the last several years. And I quickly discovered that your programming exceeds any and every talk show on all mainstream alphabet networks combined for subject matter and information a man can use to understand and react to the big picture in America and in the world today. They do pure, mostly junk and predictable entertainment. He's talking about the mainstream, of course. Your hosts educate the listener with wit and wisdom and information one could never get from any university at any price. Without RBN, there would be no Ralph Winterrude, no Bob Chapman, no Robbie Rowell, no Jeff Bennett or Joyce and Peter, no Roger Sales. And that only scratches the daytime programming. There might only be Rush and Hannity and Laura Ingraham and all the other not-so-clever hacks who never delve into the vital touchstone issues of our times. A writer says, I prefer being educated rather than entertained, and I happen to believe that every man has a duty and a moral obligation to pay for his own education himself, regardless of the fact that your programs and hosts give it bountifully, sincerely, and freely for the taking every single day, and without being paid a farthing. The mere act of listening has put me and all your other listeners in your debt. Therefore, I'm appalled that you've had to prolong your fundraiser indefinitely because so many listeners have not yet done their duty and paid any tuition at all, as in zip, zero, nada. I'm not supporting RBN with a few measly bucks those listeners have dishonored themselves by taking without reciprocating. I'm sorry, he says, in not supporting RBN with a few measly bucks, those listeners have dishonored themselves by taking without reciprocating. They're not of the same metal as America's founders who pledged their lives and fortunes and sacred honor so that they and we might have a genuine crack at real human freedom. I hope that some listeners at least regret that a fellow listener has felt compelled to tell them something they should know as a man. And he goes on to say, I'm reminded of what Sam Adams wrote in behalf of the cause of American freedom when he said, if ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms, crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. And may your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Yes, our writer continues, I am appalled. Appalled that RBN is carrying on this burden of the cause unassisted by those who benefit so much and still turn a blind eye to the needs of those like you on RBN who deserve our support for the gifts you have given us with your own lives and fortunes and even your honor. These are the times that try men's souls. Some of us are too old or otherwise ill-equipped to do more than offer our financial support to RBN. May their conscience impel them to do so. What possible excuse could anyone have not to chip in, say, the cost of a six-pack of beer? If they can't afford that, then may posterity forget that they were my countrymen. Signed sincerely, Joe. Yeah, that's his real name. I may or may not post his name in its entirety tonight. Joe, if you're out there listening as you claim you do, drop me an email, gold@republictradinggroupinternational.com, and I'll respond. Sometimes we as broadcasters need to shake ourselves out of the mindset that we're in, where we're at, our angers, our fears, our frustrations, financial needs. Look, this program is brought to you in its entirety, basically by Republic Trading Group. That's what I was brought here to do. But sometimes I personally like getting the words of someone like Joe, who says what needs to be said, rather than it coming from John Statmiller or myself or any of the other hosts on this network. You think we like having to come out there and say, folks, we need your help. But you know what? That's what it's going to take to keep RBN on the air. If you agree with what Joe says, and if Joe has embarrassed you enough and challenged you enough, then go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Make that contribution. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow, along with Roger Sales. The good Lord sees fit to bring us together again. Thanks for sharing your valuable time with me. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
And your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has.
Ever climbing as the dollar continues.